Welcome to Success Stories, brought to you by SNS Activewear. I'm your host, Marshall Atkinson, and this is the podcast that focuses on what's working so you can have success too. On today's Success Stories podcast, we're going to focus on what it takes to change the focus of your business from one type of customer base to another. That's what Ron Ajeli with We Talk Shirty in Scranton, Pennsylvania did, and he is going to share his insights with that journey. So grab some paper and a pencil and come along for the ride as we walk you through that journey of getting from A to B and what you need to do. So Ron, welcome to the Success Stories podcast.
Marshall, thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here. Hopefully I'm able to help out some of these amazing shops that tune into your podcast.
Well, I can't wait. I think, you know, I watch your videos and you do some just really hilarious things. So I thought you would be such a great podcast guest. So I can't wait to get started and learn all about what your shop does, right? So before we can talk about where we are now, I think we need to discuss where you started. So describe that original business focus and talk about why and when you decided that you needed to change gears.
So I'm not going to start like where I started, like how I started the business. You know, we all have those similar stories. I started right after I got out of the military in my college dorm room. And that story's been out there, right? So how about we just change that focus and we'll go to when I decided to go full-time into believing into this business, right? So we come to the realization, hey, I'm a basement printer and I want to open up my first store. Well, there's a lot of give and take there. There's a lot of people who were around me that said I couldn't do this. And there's a lot of people that were in my group of friends and family are just like, well, this other guy does this. Like, how are you going to do this? Like, how are you going to be successful in this? There's so many people doing this. And right from the get-go, right there, when I decided to open up my first store and really go into this, because I was moving, I just didn't have the room. But we opened up our first store, which was 10 feet by 10 feet room with the front door on it, retail, and just to have my little manual press in there. But our focus was I had to change who I was hanging out with. You know, I had to really change and get some people around me that were motivated. And really, it was my wife-to-be. She said, I believed in you. So we went into the small storefront 10 by 10. And that was our first business focus, was to work locally in the community, you know, outreaching to the nonprofits, to the dog shelters, to the schools, really just a community-based business, you know, and that was great. And it was really, really good. I mean, right from the start, because I was doing it part-time, I already had a strong customer base, enough to afford the bills to be paid and bring a little bit of home. Quickly did I find out who I wanted my customer to be and who I didn't want my customer to be. And that was early on. And that was through the help of listening to the podcast. It was the help of really digging deep into the business structure that I wanted, because we all make mistakes. I was taking customers that weren't paying on time. Maybe 60 days later, I was taking the guy coming in who wanted one shirt, for example, in the beginning. I was the guy who was doing like six colors on 12 shirts. And it was just because it was more of a craft at that time. And that was fine. I just wasted a lot of time in that beginning focus of that business model, because it was more like, hey, let's get the word out there. And this guy is cheap, fast, and he can get it done on time. And let's give them a shot. So by doing that, it opened up a lot of doors in the community. I had a lot of schools, whereas we had like one football coach. I had one football coach when I started. He gave me my first big order. It was like a 500-piece t-shirt order for a blackout game. And it clicked like, wow, I want to target or put together a package to these coaches that will allow me to get these larger orders so I'm not doing these smaller orders. So right from then, I heard about that 80-20 rule, and I didn't know what it was. I had no idea what it was, but I was kind of doing it. It just naturally kicked in, because you are trying to figure out that customer base of who you want to go with and who you want to stay with. So for a good solid 5 years, I did schools. I mean, you could ask anybody that I talked to in the industry, what does Ron do schools and stores? And that's what they thought I did. And I really grew that business into more than just schools, because I'm like, hey, if I could do uniforms, let me open one of those, you know, larger companies, you know, and let me see if I could get in with Nike or Under Armour or Adidas. And the fact is that they wouldn't open me. So I had to be real creative and strategic. And I actually ended up opening with Adidas, which was fantastic. And that gave me the ability to offer uniforms. So that would get my foot in the door. And then I would come up with marketing plans to help the PTA moms of, hey, how could they get more money out of their fundraisers versus selling chocolate bars? So I was creating these little, I guess you call them marketing strategies that I would send to different parts of the school that would help them sell. I was a problem solver, as you would say. And that was my model. And we did nothing but just schools. And we did a lot of schools and we did a lot of local businesses. And then came to the point where I was just so bogged down with work that was treading water and it wasn't being so profitable because we were just taking so many schools. I thought, hey, what better time to start changing our focus with our growth? And I never like to put all my eggs in one basket. I know it's cliche to say that, but we started diving into different channels and different niches to see where we would fit in. And it was okay to change. It was kind of hard to start telling schools like, hey, no, we aren't going to take that order. Well, what do you mean? You did it and we're not going to do it for that price. And this is where we're at now. And this is what we're doing. And there was a lot of pushback. And it was like, it's okay though, because the ones that really truly believe in what you're giving, which is more than just a decorated piece of apparel, it is a customer service experience. It is everything that comes with our business. We're not just an apparel company anymore. We are problem solvers for our customers to go from point A to Z and be in constant contact through the process and give them an exceptional experience instead of just a mediocre experience. So that's where we started really diving into how we started. That's where we came from, which was working with a lot of schools and super small business owners in the area, because that's what I was, a small business in the area at the time. So that's kind of like where we started. That's where we started. It's where we came from.
I love that story. And I love the fact that you recognized that you needed to shift gears. And the one thing that you said that I really liked was the fact that you focused on the idea that you are a problem solver. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of times people that get into this industry, they label themselves, like if you ask them, hey, what do you do? They say, I'm a screen printer. They don't say that I'm an entrepreneur or I'm a small business owner or I'm a problem solver, you know? And so when they say that I'm a screen printer, they view everything through that lens of that I'm a screen printer. Not that I'm an entrepreneur where I'm in business to make money, or I'm a problem solver, which is more customer focused, right, than what I'm actually doing in my process. I really love the fact that you honed in on the problem solving aspect and then took that idea and ran with it in other markets. How can I solve problems for a business or whatever, right? It's different than a school, but maybe there's more revenue opportunity there. And right. That's just fantastic. And talk about just your mindset and how it's evolved over the years. I really like that idea.
So previous to opening up our first store, I was surrounded by individuals that just weren't pushing me or said I couldn't do something. And when I opened up the store, it was hard. It was really hard because I had to start getting rid of these people in my life because they were just pulling me down. I couldn't get ahead because, you know, they were hanging out in the bars at 2 o'clock in the morning while I was pressing ink through a screen. You know, like they were going away on vacations and I'm like, hey, I'm trying to build something that is going to be hopefully a legacy for my children one day. Why, you know, I wasn't pushing 9 to 5 anymore. And it kind of spooked a lot of the guys I was hanging out with and my friends. And they flat out told me like, hey, you're moving really quick. And they just stopped calling. And that was fine. It hurt a little bit, but I surrounded myself then with a networking group, not like a BNI or anything like that. I found local people in our community and their acquaintances. They're not best of friends. They're not friends, but they're business owners. They're people that struggle the same. They're entrepreneurs. They're the same people that struggle with the same things that I'm going through growing a business, right? So I got in front of people who I could talk to and like, hey, if I hire an employee, what kind of insurance do you think I should need? Or, you know, where do I file this number? Or how do I get this number? Or how do I get my sales use tax? Where's my quarterly? Like, these are the people that were key in my life at that time to make that switch because I was surrounding myself with like-minded individuals who wanted to get to the next level, but they knew they couldn't do it alone either. Because we'd rather sit around and talk business than we would rather talk about a football team.
That's fantastic. I know you've heard the phrase, you're the average of the six people you hang around with.
It is. There it is.
So if you hang around with people who are millionaires, guess what you're more likely to be?
I have to say it's very accurate. It's very accurate. And that's kind of what the outcome happened, you know? And we've all grown together. Some were doctors, some were attorneys, some are, you know, pizzeria owners, some are restaurant owners, some are car dealerships. These are just guys that, you know, I all met up and we have monthly meetings.
Was that like through the chamber or how did you find them?
People that were my customers that own businesses.
Oh, I see.
And I said, hey, and then like, we're not friends. We're just acquaintances. You know, we just get together and we talk and we chat and we hang out. We're in a collective group chat or text and we, you know, Merry Christmas, how you doing? And then daily it's like, hey, I'm dealing with this. How could you help me out? Or do you have a resource for that? And it's just a bunch of small group of guys and ladies in my area that we help each other out because we have the resources.
Cool.
And it's, we have networking. We're not looking to get business from each other, although that does happen, but we're a resource because we know so many people in our community or out there that when we need an answer, we get it immediately instead of having to go fish, you know, somebody else's recommendation.
Right. So just looking back, Ron, what do you think the hardest part about changing is? And if you had to start over, what would you do differently? Because there's somebody listening right now that recognizes where they are is where you are in the early part of your career. So maybe they can learn from that. So what would you do if you had to start over?
The biggest thing that I would change if I was to go back again, I am where I am because what I went through. So you're going to have challenges. There's going to be a lot of mental health that you have to keep, you know, straight away. There's going to be a family. There's going to be a balance between work and family. There's going to be all that in between. I honestly don't regret how I got to where I am now. It made me realize what I don't want to do anymore and why. And when an opportunity arises, when to say no. And that's the key. It's okay to say no. When you start, it's yes, 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 yes. And you're accommodating and you're worried about this one, if they're going to say something bad about this. And it's just say no. You know, a gut feeling is what I kind of go by 90% of the time. And it's proven me right 90% of the time. But if it's telling you not to do it, don't do it. You know, like, why are you trying to trick it to make it work? You know, I'll have a customer who calls up and it's a million questions and they're not following, you know, how our order process is and they don't follow our protocol. So the answer is no. This is our process and this is why we're a problem solver. If you have left XYZ shop and you are coming here with this many problems, I really don't think it was XYZ shop's problem. I think you're the problem. And I don't want to tell them that, but I do it in a very nice way. So if I had to go back, it would be to say no more so that I could get here quicker. You know, I could completely lie and say, oh, I wish I could go back. And I would do exactly what I'm doing now because my model changed because I was in schools, but my gut feeling was telling me about a year before, start getting into different niches and seeing where you want to go. Because when 2020 came out, when COVID hit, guess what closed? All of my schools. So if I didn't have those new niches and I wasn't fishing out to other areas of business industry, I would have been completely shut down with zero revenue.
Yeah. And so many shops are out of business today because they only served one market and they didn't take payment up front. So they had a huge account receivable debt and they just couldn't make it. So that's the sad truth.
And I was trying to help because there was so many, you know, shops that were out there when this all went down in 2020. And I mean, we were having a record year. We were off to one of the largest starts we've ever had because we were doing both schools and these new niches. And I remember shops getting calls like, why isn't my phone ringing? And it's like, well, you have a fax machine and you're not, you have to change. You have to change with the times a little bit. You know, I'm 37 years old. I know what a fax machine is. I know how to shake a hand. I know how to sit in the boardroom. I know how to type email. I know what SEO is. And I'm in between that gap. Realize that. And there's still a ton of people that are 50 plus that don't care for technology. And I know how to reach them. Whereas, you know, guys coming into this, they're all, it's all tech, it's all data. And it's like, hey, you're leaving millions of dollars on the table. I'll gobble that up because I know how to do both, you know? Right. So when that change happened, it wasn't forced, it was already in motion. But when it went into motion and I had no other, I guess I wasn't being as bothered, I guess we'll call it, when COVID hit out from the schools with the inquiries, and I was easily able to just really pivot and start pumping into those other markets that I wanted to tap because I had time. Okay. So that's when I kind of realized, okay, well, the schools will come back. Everything will return. But in the same time, when that 6 month span passed until, you know, the following school year, when everything, they went back and they had masks and everything, in that 6 months, I redeveloped a whole new company. It wasn't just what I was doing. We were a brand new company come that fall. And we are doing that once again, currently where we're at 1 year later, but it's the same company. Just again, we've really rolled the dice, shook everything up, changed our models, and we are really pushing out of certain markets and we are steamrolling into other markets. And that doesn't just happen though, Mark. You know what I mean? Like, Marshall, it doesn't happen.
No kidding. No kidding. Yeah.
Data that goes and evolved. There's a lot of risk that went into it, a lot of long hours, and it's worth it if you put the time in, because we'll go with the saying, you know, people say I'm lucky, but it's not. It's just harder I work, the luckier I get, because that's the goddamn truth, you know? So, yeah. And that's, you know, if I could talk back to those who are sitting in the position of when they're just starting, it's called work. Put it in and don't give up, you know? And that's kind of the mentality I have. I'm a vet. I survived, you know? So there's really nothing going to take me down here, Marshall. I'm here.
That's right. You're hard to kill. Like what you hear so far? Be sure to subscribe so you can get the latest from Success Stories. And now here's Zach Shortley with the SNS Spotlight.
Expressing your individuality is becoming more and more important within the fashion scene. Nowadays, it's more about standing out than fitting in, which means being able to pitch a wide range of looks to your clients is essential. That's why at SNS, we're always looking to add fun and unique styles from the best premium and retail brands on the market. And with over 80 to choose from, including retail favorites like Adidas, Champion, Columbia, Alternative, and Tommy, you're sure to find something that'll help your clients stand out from the crowd. To see our wide selection of accessories and apparel, check us out at snsactivewear.com. Thanks for listening.
You know, one of the hardest parts about running a business and especially changing things is actually benchmarking. So after all, how can you know that what you're doing is actually making a difference if you're not measuring things? So talk about how you built out your KPIs and what you measure and how you kind of use that to know that you're on the right path.
So the KPIs, I'm such a data guy too, and I was getting a little over the top with it. Okay. I had it down to how many steps were being taken between one press to a dryer. I had how long would it take to run a certain shirt, whether it was a fit, you know, 100% cotton versus, you know, if I had to roll it with 3001 Bella. I'm really gaining the numbers, but it was more or less broken down to like data. So I would take a season and I would collect data on a buying pattern. And then I would get my top 10 items from that. So if I took the first quarter and I would take all of my data from my vendors, I would find out what is my top 10 of what I'm buying. And then that's what I would renegotiate with my vendors to get at a lower or reduced cost. And I'm able to push that out to new business because I know that's what's selling. This is what's trending. So again, problem solving, there's so much that goes into it. It's not just, hey, we make t-shirts. I tell all of my customers that there's so much. We do so much behind the scenes to make sure that they absolutely know that what they're getting is either one cutting edge, new, or just standard, you know, because there's nothing wrong with being standard either. But having the data to show them that, I was able to give them a number like, hey, I ran 25 school stores. And in those 25 school stores last year, first quarter, these were the top 10 items that sold. And this is what they gained in revenue with their markups. And when I go in and I show them that data, I get not only the sale, they're like, holy cow, like this is cool to be able to gauge this because you have all that.
Everybody's got dollar signs in their eyes after you do that. That's hell.
They could do an online store, but if you know, it sounds good. Hey, we'll give you the ability to order and we'll drop ship and we'll do everything. We'll host it and we'll put all the logos together and we'll bag it. We'll ship it. You just pick it up and hand it out. That sounds nice, but there's so much more to that, because now you could go into a bigger business or a corporate and be like, hey, here's our data. Here's our buying patterns. This is what would work for your customer base. This is our recommendations. And we know this is going to sell. It did really, really well with these many stores. So that would be the data part of it for that kind of, you know, what we're going for. But I went to like even press outputs. So press number one is, you know, 12 color. What am I running on there? How long is it taking? Is it a long run day? And I would gauge like how long would it take to print a 10 color, you know, 2000 piece order versus what it would cost to do five setup and breakdowns for five 250 piece orders.
When you're measuring stuff, especially in production, are you just using a clock and a piece of paper, or do you have some technology that's helping you do that?
So I have a system that I use that we developed for certain metrics that we use, but mostly it's a timer and then it's the average of our printers. So I would never put one of our strongest printers versus one of our, you know, weakest printers. That just isn't fair. Usually I'm doing this, you know, that's how we get the output and that's how I'm getting the data for that. We use, you know, some technology for that. It's pretty accurate. It gives me what I need. Didn't always work. You know, there's a lot of trial and error with it because you can't really gauge everything. You know, like I didn't know how much time they are wasting on presses scooping ink back in, for example, or the breakdown process and me collecting data with the consumption of the stuff and their print outputs with the time on press and their time usage. I came to a lot of realizations of where we were actually losing time in our shop. And it was from not only myself, but it was from consultants that I had come into our shop, like yourself and some others in the industry. And we really dive into my shop. And there's another word of advice, hire a consultant and bring them into your shop.
Amen, brother.
Yeah. Straight up. I know all this stuff. I'll tell my all this stuff. They don't listen to me. They think a hocus pocus. I bring in a guy like you. You're like, gee, you just walked across water. They're like, look at this. I'm like, I've been saying this for 5 years, but I don't even say that. I'm like, yeah, look at, you know, here we go. So right. It's just bringing it in a different, someone from the outside for them to hear it. And the culture of the shop completely changed. So there's a lot of key factors that go into it, but collecting all that data, we then started setting benchmarks like, hey, if we have a 10 color job on the press, how could we break that down and get the next job up and registered and ready to rock and roll for that printer in an XYZ amount of time?
So really, it's about dialing in your process, being proactive in your decision making, looking ahead and really understanding, you know, where you are with your KPIs. And that really helps you do a better job of organizing and thinking about what's ahead for the shop. And, you know, maybe if there's a new technique or a new consumable or a new gizmo, that could get us 1 or 2% better, you know, on an annual basis. That's a huge payoff.
Huge.
And I don't think a lot of shops really understand that a lot of their profit is really tied up in their downtime. So as you know, I'm a big geek about that stuff. So that's really great to hear and what you guys are doing. So good job with that.
Thank you. Like I said, you know, you're getting all this data and you're trying to, you know, save time because we don't really like the downtime either. And we run two breaks and a lunch, you know, and that's their downtime. And I mean, I was tracing our employees, like if they're walking across the building, why were they walking from point A all the way across to get screens?
I'm a big proponent of doing that scavenger hunt.
Yes.
The day before. Nope. So you get your shirts and your screen and your ink and your samples and mock-ups and documents or whatever, and you stage it for tomorrow, today, in the order that you're going to run the jobs in. So your crew, all they do is set the job up, run it, take the job done, set up the next one. That's all they do. They don't walk anywhere. Right. No. And everything comes to the press. In fact, if you've got an artist or a manager that's supposed to approve the job, the printer never goes to the art department room. The artist comes to the press because your main way you're making money is in your shop, running your press And you want that to be outputting as many shirts as possible. So any moment where they're not printing shirts, you want to cut that downtime down. And that way you can build your throughput, build your downtime percentage drops. You're making more money and everybody's happy.
Right. And you know, it's a long workday. And this isn't, you know, when I was saying the data of how many you could print, like you have to realize they're humans too. So you can't just be like, oh, I could print 700 shirts an hour. It's very doable, but you have to also understand the labor intensity that is happening to the press operators. You want to be able to say, hey, switch them up on the press halfway through. Why don't you go do that job on that press, take that operator, move them around. But that's where it comes key to having a good, you know, production manager, somebody that's in the back, seeing all that to see how people are moving. What are they really good at? What are they good at running? You know, these are all the things that I collect and I see that my employee and that my team doesn't see. This is everything that I'm processing. Like, what's your strength? What's your ability? And that comes to another process. I was on a collective call with people in our industry. It was a random Sunday and it said XYZ, and XYZ is in that whatever it is where you could talk, Clubhouse, right? And we're in there and I heard this great idea of, you know, why not make a reward system for your employees to make more money if they learn more about your shop? Oh my God, my head exploded. I'm like, really? You know, I never thought of this. So now I have their name on the wall and we're coming up with all these QR codes and me making videos of how to run this machine so that they could go learn about this. They go through my test and they make an extra dollar an hour.
Right. Wow. I'm huge in cross training, Ron.
Huge. I know. It was just kind of pushing it together. Like, how do I come up with this process? How do I make this work? How do I get them on board with this? And, you know, money is always a motivator, but to me, it's not always about, it's the culture of the shop. It's everything that's going on. But like you said, cross training is very important. Call-offs are happening more than ever. Finding reliable employees, more than ever, hard to come by. So by cross training who I have and doing more retentive and keeping them, if XYZ calls off, I know I could call over ABC to fill in for XYZ.
Building your bench strength proactively.
Big time.
Yep. All right. Last question. You ready?
Ready.
So let's talk about trajectory. So in business, it's nice to get some momentum behind you so you can keep pushing forward. Like, it's easier to go downhill than it is uphill, right? So what's in store for you for the future that you're really excited about?
Well, we're going to do that. So we went where we came from, where we're going. And we completely, like I said, we're a new company. We are really moving into the contract side of the world with large merchandise companies that are looking for printers to work for them and distribute. And that was something that I had a little dabble in and I found very, very rewarding, because right now, compared to last year's years and the previous years, we are again above a record pace because our numbers are way whole. They're wholer. There's no cost of goods being so much anymore. It's more or less we're being contracted. So we're getting paid for us, our labor, our overhead. And if you set a goal at a certain number with retail, you got to consider the cost of goods and everything else deducted after that. Well, now if you do contract, well, there's no cost of goods here. It's all your consumables and your labor and everything below that. So say, for example, you set a $200,000 a month goal, which anybody would like, right? For a medium-sized business or small. Say you did, and this is just a number, 200, and you did that retail, and then you have to take everything else out with cost of goods. Well, there's a number at the bottom, right? Everybody's number would be different. If you went contract and did $200,000, which one weighs out? And that's kind of where my focus has gone. It's like, hey, this is a solid number, and I'm more company by gaining this versus this. Because even though the retail has more money, in my opinion, I'm spending 6 hours right now trying to source blanks or materials to come in. And I'm dealing with a customer who I have to go back and forth with. Hey, they don't have any mediums. They don't have this color. But at the same time, I'm dealing with 100 customers. So for me to change the business wasn't to deal with 100 to a couple hundred customers. Now it's to get it down to where I'm dealing with 30 solid merchandise contract customers, where I'm getting a solid figure every month with projections out, because we're not even starting the year yet. I mean, we're just starting the year and we have a long year ahead, and we're sitting here with our press already booked up 5 weeks, all of them. And we already know where we're going to be. So that was the big changing moment. And our trajectory is, I want to be a powerhouse here in the next 5 years in the Northeast to be one of the premier contract print shops. That's my goal.
Yeah, well, that's great. And you're on your way, especially if you're doing measuring. That's what you really need. And it's great to focus on top line sales, but you're absolutely right. You need to really focus on your profit. And right. I think the goal of any business is, how can we work half as hard for twice as much? Right. Yeah. So what do we need to do for that? Right. And so if you can build that out with whatever market and whoever you serve, right, then you're going to have a better company and a more sustainable business. Right. And just what you were saying, if you had 30 customers that give you $100,000 a year in sales, right, that's some good cash. Right. So $3 million a year right there, just by focusing on just 30 people instead of hundreds.
So. Right. So, I mean, and it takes you a while to do this. It's not an easy process, but when you start transitioning and you could see the light like opening up and you're like, wow, okay, I got this one. Now let me get this one. And now if I just get two more here, we're almost right there. And I could start saying no to some of the ones that, you know, I'm not saying they're bad accounts, but they're the ones that would take up a lot more time.
Right. Are you getting into more fulfillment now? Like you're warehousing inventory and picking and shipping? Or are you just drop shipping that big order to 200 locations? What are you doing?
So the typical order that's coming in right now are just very steady flow, large orders that are being split shipped, but not to a couple hundred places. It's all centralized to distribution centers. So it's an easier process for us to follow, although the game of the e-commerce and order fulfillment and those orders are very large. That's something that we're looking to grow into, but isn't requested by our vendors yet, although it is on the table for discussion. So I approach these customers and retail customers of how could we work together? How could we grow together? And where do I fit in? How can this work? I don't say, here's my price list. I don't do that. I don't even give out a price list. I get on the call and I say, how could we make this work? Do you have a baseline? What are you paying other printers? What do you have? Send me that information. And if they can't even do that, then I move on to the next one. But when they do send it and we sit there and we talk, usually you might be off 5-10 cents. So is that a deal breaker? No, you could work that out. If you get with the right customers, it's a big picture thing. There's going to be some orders that are going to waste your time, but then the big picture of it all is, wow, those like 30 orders that made me mad for the year with the thousands of them that they sent me, I could take that. I could take that any day versus 30 angry soccer moms who are mad because their, you know, color was supposed to be navy and they got like a navy, but it was from a different supplier and it didn't match. I'll take the customer complaining like, hey, you know, we got this rush order coming in and I need it on Thursday, and I tell them Friday. I'll take that over versus 30 screaming moms who are leaving me bad Google reviews over something that is out of my control.
That's great. And this all goes back to how you label yourself as a problem solver.
Right, right. And this is where it comes down to. It's not afraid to change. Change is okay. You know, things evolve. You have to know where you want to go. I am not at the race to the bottom, and neither should you be. And you shouldn't just give away your hard work. You are a craft. You are your company. You are your representative. And you are worth something. You know, you shouldn't be undercutting yourself in any way, because the right people will find you when you're doing really good work.
That's great. Perfect. So thank you so much for sharing your story of success with us today, Ron. So if someone wants to learn more about what you do, or maybe how you can help them, what is the best way to contact you?
You could hit me up on Instagram. That's kind of where I have a lot of the shops just following me. We talk in between the lines there. We share our stories, our triumphs, and our losses. Find me at @talkshirtytome. You could also find me at my website, wetalkshirty.com. Just click contact us. And I'm really, really not that hard to find, but I'm also not easy as well, if that makes sense.
All right. That's great. Thank you so much, Ron. Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, Marcel. I appreciate you as well.
Well, that's our show today. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe so you can stay up to date on the latest Success Stories episodes. Have any suggestions for future guests or topics? Send them my way at marshall@marshallatkinson.com, and we'll see you next time.